Be seated. Go ahead and open your Bibles with me. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And I want to just pick out verse 18 here. Isaiah 43 and 18. Here's what Isaiah said. He says, it's the Lord saying it, of course, through him. He says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." Now, Isaiah here is telling us that the former things, the things in the past, we're not to concentrate on them. Matter of fact, he says, you know, the word consider here, you see that? Consider, neither consider the things of old. That word consider there means to separate mentally. In other words, the things that are in the past, the things of old, the things that have been, we don't need to get our mind set on those. We don't need to let ourselves get caught up in those things, because you have to understand, if you want to move forward, you're going to have to let go of what's behind. Come on, now you need to get a hold of that. Everybody needs to get a hold of that. A lot of times we talk about things and you know, we'll talk about bad, we'll talk about good, whatever. You hear a lot of people say, "Well, I'll tell you what, them was the good old days," or "I'd like to be living in the good old days." Well, you know, they might have seemed different back then, but you can't necessarily say they were the good old days. Come on, because you had same kind of problems, same kind of things going on. The world might have been a little different then, and things might have changed in that aspect of it. But you see, if you try to hold back to that, and you start looking back on that and say, "Well, you know, I'd like to be able, you know, I mean, I get it. I mean, we used to be able to run up and down the roads as kids and play on the roads and play at the school and all that. There was no worry about anything going on. You never worried about a kid getting kidnapped. What might happen is a neighbor come along, pick them up, and bring them home." You know, and so you see those kind of things, and that was good, but here's the thing, you know, we're living in a different time now, but this time does not have to be bad. We've got to continue moving forward with the Lord. So we can't get ourselves caught up in the past, because, you know, you get to dwelling on things in the past, and I'm going to tell you something, as you get older, you start getting to dwelling on back when you was young, and that'll drive you crazy. Amen. You start thinking about the things I used to be able to do. Right? You know, the things that your mind still tells you you can do. You know, but you can't consider the things of old, okay? Don't remember the former things. What we have to focus on is, what can I do now? And how can I improve the kingdom of God, or move forward in the kingdom of God, or advance the kingdom of God now? See, I can't hold on to that back there. You know, we start looking, and sometimes we start thinking about, you know, some services that we've had in the past. And, you know, you're like, "Well, man, I'd like to have services like that again." No, that was for that time. We need the services God wants for this time. For now, we need to be moving forward with God, because I believe we're in a more anointed time right now than we have been in my lifetime. And I know we've been through the charismatic age and all that stuff. But I'm telling you, all that was to prepare for what God's getting ready to do now. Amen. That was getting His people. And God's always been preparing His people. He's always been moving us forward. But we can't dwell on those things. You know, yes, healing is still for today. And we're going to see a lot of healing take place. But the healing revivals of yesteryear were for that. It was to move the kingdom of God forward, to get us prepared so that we're all ready for some healing, right? For it to take place again. So we want to move forward, not look back at what's behind. Look over here in Numbers chapter 11. Let me show you something over here. Numbers chapter 11, and we'll just pick it up in verse 1 here. It says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again, and said, 'Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely.' the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Now, I want you to see what's going on. Notice here, they said, we remember. They're looking back. Now, you've got to understand that these people had been brought out of captivity. They were slaves in Egypt. And God had brought them out with a high hand. And here's the thing, they're on their way to the promised land. But here they are, they're complaining, they're griping. Come on. Well, if they didn't play the music so loud, maybe I'd like it a little bit better. Or if they'd sing that song I like, I could worship. Come on now. Well, if pastor wouldn't preach so long on Wednesday night, I'd probably go to church. You lying dog. That's right. I said it. Don't blame it on me or how long you think the service is going to go. You just don't want to come. Come on, because you do what you want to do. Amen. I understand things. It's busy times, you know, but you're as busy as you want to be. Come on now, what are you busy with? Come on, you got to think about that for a minute. But, you know, they're murmuring and complaining. And the first time they're murmuring and complaining, notice that I mean, God just said, crispy critters. I'm not putting up with your complaining. It made God mad. Why? Because here He is bringing them out, delivering to Him, taking them to the place He wants them to thrive in, and they're complaining on the way. See, we got to be careful that when God has taken us from one place to another, that we don't complain about what it takes to get there. Come on, if you want to rise up and become more spiritual, get a stronger anointing, and God wants you to, you're going to go through some times of study, some times of prayer, some times of trial, some things that are going to test you so that you can be strong enough to carry the next anointing you're trying to get to. See, that's the problem. A lot of folks have they get in there and they want more anointing, but they don't have enough character to be able to carry it around. Amen. Sometimes people's talents will take them to a place, but their character brings them back down. Have we not? You see it in the secular world all the time. You see all these great singers, and they've got all the talent in the world, you know, and all these things are going on. But what? I mean, their character brings them right back down. I can think of two or three right now that if they'd have stayed where they were at with their character when they started out, that what made them popular, there's no telling how big they'd be right now. But now they're considered trash because of the things, their character, what they allowed to happen. Well, wonder what caused that to happen to them. Wonder what led it to that. Well, did you notice here on this, it said when the mixed multitude began. So you've got to understand, when they came out of Egypt, not only did they come out of Egypt with God's high hand, but there were folks said, whoa, what about me, boss? I want to go too. If God's going to bring you out, I'm going with you. Because they had watched them spoil the Egyptians. They had watched the Egyptians just give them whatever they asked for. Get on out of here, just take it and go. And they thought, man, let's go with them. Okay? Now, what happens? Well, now the mixed multitude, the people that were not the part of the family of God, they start their mouths about meat. Man, I'd sure like to have a good steak. Right? Come on, they're talking about meat, you know. And when they start doing that, what happens is, then that starts getting in the ears of the children of God, and then they start complaining. They start carrying on. And they say what? We remember the cucumbers that we did eat back in Egypt freely. What? Freely? You were slaves. You were in bondage to the Egyptians. They told you every move to make, made you get your own stuff to make brick with. You were in bondage. That's just like saying, well, I think I'm going to get myself put in prison so I'll get three good squares. Right? We did eat it freely. And then they started talking about the leeks and the onions and the garlic. And I'm sure that was pretty good. But you know, the Bible describes the manna that was coming from heavenly food, angel food, coming out of heaven, that once they ground it up and did what they were making, they would make cakes. And one translation said it would taste like cakes made out of fresh oil. And they were sick of eating cakes from heaven. And so they started lusting after what had been. You see, once again, they started looking back. And all it did was just get them in trouble. See, here's the thing. You have to be careful when God's moving you and God's driving you and He's taking you to another place. You have to be real careful who you get mixed up with and who you listen to and what they're saying. See, because if you're not careful, they can sway you to go against the will of the Lord. That's what happened here. He gave them instructions, was taking care of them, feeding them. He was giving them the perfect food to keep them healthy through their journey. That's what He was doing for them. But you see, when the mixed multitude, when the heathens started whispering, when the friends started whispering, come on, when the friends started saying, well, you know, we don't ever go to church on Wednesday night. I mean, you know, I don't know why you're all the time going. I mean, you're just so busy. And so why would you put yourself through that and go on Wednesday night? Come on, think about it for a minute. When they start saying things like, well, you know, there's plenty of people up there to help clean the church and do the things at church. Ain't no use you doing it. You might just let somebody else do it because you don't really have time or you're too old or you're whatever. Right? Come on now. Sit quiet. But you see, that's what folks will do. They'll talk to you about stuff like that and they'll cause you to miss God. They missed God. They started complaining. We won't meet. You know what God said? God said, you won't meet. I'll give you meat. And the Bible says He sent quails. And they stacked up on the ground 3 feet high. Now you got to understand this. You get that many quail on the ground, you got a wonderful smell going on. And it's not a delicacy. They gathered all they could gather to try to eat, but they said when he got it in the mouth, it was just like it rotted. See, because what God said is, you want it, you got this, but would you rather have mine or that? You see, so we have to be careful, folks, that we don't keep trying to look back at what has been. Come on, you got to become unburdened by that which has been. Okay. That's a little political joke. Okay, I'm sorry if that bothered anybody. No, you can't let it hold you back. You got to keep pressing forward. Keep pressing in, okay? So they remembered all that, forgot that they'd been in bondage. Isn't it a shame that a lot of folks can do that? They'll get to the place, God will bless them, God will bring them out, and they'll be doing good, and they forget about how good God's being to them, and they'll drop back into something stupid. Something in their old life, or go hang out with somebody and let them talk them into something. We have to be real careful. Now, let me just say this. You may not be where you want to be or doing what you want to be right now. You might not be there yet. But here's the thing. God is working on your behalf. Listen to what He says here in Isaiah 43:19. He says, behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. See, God wants to do a new thing in your life, but you're going to have to quit looking back if you want to go forward into the new. You cannot hold on to the old and expect to walk in the new. Amen. You see, when you hold on to the old, what's behind you, it's like having a big shackle on your leg. It's dragging you back. It's holding you back. You have to keep looking forward. You have to keep looking to the future. You have to keep pushing forward in the kingdom of God. And just, if there's others that want to stay back in the back and they want to stay behind and they want to live in the past, go ahead and let them. You see things happen all the time. I see things happen. I'm sure you have too. You even see people that they still want to live in the yesteryear. They want to live back in the times when maybe they were a star in high school basketball. And that's what they want to remember, and they kind of want to live there. Now, I know some of you got some sports cars and that kind of thing, but you kind of think about that. We kind of want to live back there where we used to, and then when the cars was cool, right? Right? Come on. I mean, I like them. You know what I'm saying? But why is it we do that? It's because it's what we used to do. I see Jack back there looking at me, Willie's looking at me, Steve's looking at me, all them boys got them kind of cars. I'm not preaching at you guys. I'm just trying to say that's one of those things that we do. We kind of look back at that. I used to have that and I want another one. Right? When the truth is, there's some new cars that's a whole lot faster. Right? But it's what you liked and it's kind of that thing. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that is an example of, if we're not careful, there can be some bad things that we want to hold on to from our past. And we have to be careful not to let that drag us down. We want to keep moving forward. We don't want to get tangled up in that again, because there are those that would love to get you tangled up in that. So even though we're not there yet, we got to realize God is always working on our behalf and you are still plotting your destiny. Amen. As long as you're breathing, you're still plotting out your destiny. Now, here's the thing. The only thing that can cause it to turn out bad is for you to refuse to follow after God as you go forward. Because God wants nothing but good for you. Let me give it to you, Jeremiah 29:11. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." In the New Living Testament, it says it this way, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." You see, that's what God wants for us. He wants to give us a future and a hope. But you can... Also, though, let me just go ahead and say this before I say that. Jesus then said in the New Testament, He said, "No man putting his hand to the plow and looking backward is fit for the kingdom of God." Notice that. God's got great plans for you. He wants to give you a hope and a future, but you're not going to get it looking backwards. Amen. Now, I've seen on TV some of those things where, people... Do trick driving, they'll drive backwards and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you, it's a little difficult. Can I get an amen from anybody? You know, I mean, driving forward is pretty simple. You're always looking forward and you're going the direction you want to go. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to keep our eyes forward, keep looking, setting our eyes on the kingdom of God, on the things of God, and not looking backwards. Always moving forward, because it's His plan to bless us. Now, understand this, the past is the past. Whether it was good or bad, your future is before you. And it'll be what you decide to make it. And it's still yet to be determined, folks. You still don't know. You see, you can start thinking, well, you know, I'm getting up there in age and what. You know, Smith Wigglesworth was 60 years old before he went into the ministry. Yeah, I'm talking about the man that raised, it is absolutely documented that He raised people from the dead. Documented that He raised people from the dead. Went into one funeral home. The person's in the coffin. He puts everybody out of the funeral home. Gets the guy out of the coffin. Throws him up against the wall and says, "Live," and he falls. Gets a hold of him again. Throws him up against the wall and says, "Live." He falls. And he gets a hold of him again and throws him up against the wall and says, "I said live in the name of Jesus." And he walked out of the funeral home with him. Documented. Documented. And we do so. We say, wow. But you know, Jesus said you could do that. Come on, think about this. But you see, what I'm trying to say here is, we still don't know what all God wants to do with us. He's still moving us into greater things. You may still have a great ministry ahead of you and not even know it. But you're not going to get it by looking backwards. You've got to keep pressing in into the things of God and saying, now God, I'm ready for my future. I'm ready for what's next. Come on. Pastor Ed got in a line going around the pharmacy this afternoon, and there was a line of cars there, you know, and we went in a hurry to try to get up here. And you know what happened? We had to wait our turn to move up. You see, God's got plans for you, but it'll be in His timing to let you move up. Okay? And so we can't get hindered by our past. We can't get hindered by the things that are behind us. We gotta keep right on pushing forward. See, we have been born again. We've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. We've been declared free. But here's the thing about what's behind us. None of that and everything before Christ is null and void. Everything before Christ means nothing. It's the things that we've done for the Lord. In Philippians chapter 3, very familiar scripture, but I'm going to go here and read it to you anyway. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. We'll start way up there. Paul says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. What he's saying, somebody think you think you something? You think what you've accomplished in the flesh is something? Me too, except mine's better. That's what he's saying. And he goes on and he says, circumcised. He begins to give his decree. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus, of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself too apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Notice what he said. I've accomplished a lot of things in the flesh, but I lose them all just so I can win Christ. Matter of fact, he goes on and he says, I count everything that I accomplished before Christ as dung. All I want now is His presence. I want to apprehend Him. I want to get a hold of what's got a hold of me. And I'm going to continue to keep right on pressing. You see, he says, forgetting those things which are behind and moving forward. My boat has a graft on it. Y'all, I know you don't want to hear about my boat, but I want to tell you something about it. It has electronics on it that no matter where I go, when I get on a lake and I take off, it leaves what's called a track. So as I'm going down the lake, it's got a map of the lake on that screen. And as I go down through there, everywhere I go, it leaves a track behind me, a trail behind me. Okay? So anytime I want to go back to that, I can go back the trail. If I go somewhere and I get lost, all I got to do is follow my little trail back. Okay? But I found out a thing. Okay? I found out that it's only got so much memory. Okay? So what I found out is this, is that after a while, that as it makes new tracks, the old tracks disappear. Now, I want you to understand this. If you'll continue to make new tracks forward toward Jesus, all that old stuff behind you is going to start disappearing. Because there's only such and so much memory. There's only so much that you want to hold on to. See, that thing realizes that, you know, if this is old and this is new, he wants the new, he don't want the old. Right? So that's the way we need to be with God. I don't want the old. I thank God for the things that God has done here in this church. I thank God for the people's lives that's been changed. I thank God for the miracles we've seen. I thank God for the people that have been saved and healed and delivered. I thank God for all that He's given us. But I want to tell you something. I'm not going to get hung up in that, because God has got so much more planned for the head of us. Come on, there is so much more that we need to moving forward in. But you've got to be willing to let go of that so you can move on to that. Amen. See, it's just the way it is. We have to be really willing to not dwell too much on the past. One of my favorite stories is Brother Mike Manuel used to tell all the time. Y'all remember, and I've told it plenty of times too, but y'all remember the story of the woman cutting off the ends of the ham and watching, and her granddaughter watching. Some of you remember it. Maybe some of you don't. I'll just tell it again. Granddaughter's watching, or a daughter's watching her mom cut off or get ready to fix the ham. Her mom gets the ham out, cuts both ends of the ham off, puts it in the pan and starts. And her daughter says, "Mom, how come you cut both ends of the ham off when you cook it?" She said, "Well, honey, you know, I don't know. That's just what my mom always did." And she said, "I don't know. Let's ask Grandma." And so they called Grandma up and said, "Grandma, how come you cut both ends of the ham off when you fix it? That's the way you taught me." And she said, "Well, honey, I don't know. That's what my mom did." Well, guess what? Great-grandma was still alive. And so they called up Great-grandma and said, "Great-grandma, why did you always cut both ends of the ham off before you fixed it?" She said, "Well, honey, I just never did have a pan big enough for the ham to fit in, and so I'd cut both ends off so it'd fit in the pan." Now, how many times have we done something just because somebody else did it? Or that's what we was taught to do, or they say that's the way to do it. And we refuse to change. We refuse to move forward. Come on now. When God's saying, "Listen, I've got something better for you. I got a bigger pan for you. So you don't got to waste the two ends of the ham. You can cook that too." Come on, church. You see, God's getting ready to give us a bigger pan and a bigger ham. You hear me? You better get ready. That's why we can't be dwelling on the past. We can't be dwelling on the things that are behind. God's moving us forward. And as He moves us forward, we've got to be willing to let go of the old pan and get a hold of the new. Amen. Come on. You know, my wife is the worst to want to hold on to a lot of her old stuff. And it's okay, because she says it's better. But the thing about that is, if you think what you have is better, then you'll never give what's new a try. Right? Come on now. I'm not getting on to her. She gets aggravated. She does fry some mean fried chicken in that one skillet she's got. Amen. It's an electric skillet, probably from the 70s, I guess. One of the legs is broke off from it. The screw, I mean, another leg just flops when you set it up on the counter. You got to get it balanced out so it'll set there so she can use it. You know. But she refuses to give up on that. "I can't find another one like it." I said, "No wonder. Came over on the Mayflower." You know. "Let's try a different skillet." It won't be the same. Come on. And that's what we do, right? Come on, we all had to do that kind of thing. We refuse to try the new because we hold on to the old. Thank you, baby, for letting me use you as an illustration. She says, "Do you have to tell everything you know?" Yeah, pretty well, you know. I can tell off on me and her. She might get a little mad at me, but she's got to live with me, and so we'll make it. We'll work it out. We'll apologize to one another, kiss, make up, and stuff. You just stay mad at me and just fume and bowl and whatever. Amen. But see, it's that kind of principle that God wants us to move into the new. Come on, a new way of thinking. I talked with a young man today, probably for 30 minutes. He's lost. And he just kept asking me questions. His daddy used to be a pastor. And he would just kept asking me questions, man. I'm sure I blowed his mind because the questions he asked determined that I go deep. And so I kind of went deep with him on some things and stuff. And every time I'd mention it, he'd say, okay, well, what about this then? And then we'd go into another subject. We went everything from the women preaching to right on through to, you know, the whole deal, you know. And you know, but he was smarter than enough to know this. He says, well, you know, he started talking about asking about denominations, that kind of thing. He said, well, and I said, you know, the Bible says that for the women to be silent, and it's a shame for them to even speak. And he said, yeah, but he said, does that mean they can't testify either? I said, well, if you're going to take it for what it says, if that's your stand, then yeah, they can't sing, they can't testify. Matter of fact, once the service stops, they just got to shut up and not say nothing. Right? Come on now. I need some help here. If it says, let your women be silent, for it's a shame for them to speak, then they can't speak. You can't make an exception for a testimony, a prayer, or a song. If that's what you believe. See, I don't believe that. I don't believe that's what God meant. I don't think that's what it means. I think they were dealing with some problems that they were having there. And they were correcting some problems they had because, you know, when it talks about that, it says, let them ask their husbands when they're at home. You know, well, what if a woman doesn't have a husband? How's she going to ask? And then you find out that the same Greek word for woman and wife, it's the same Greek word. So apparently what was going on there, it was the wives, because the husband was the head, he was the one supposed to be doing the speaking and she was supposed to be submitted to him. Okay. Apparently they were having a problem. The women were asking questions and it came to the point where they said, listen, let your wives just be quiet. And when they get home, husbands, explain it to them. See, I know you might not like that, but that's a whole lot better than them saying, thinking that you can't say nothing, you can't preach, you can't. You know, the first woman preacher was a woman. I mean, the gospel preacher. Anna the prophetess, right? Very first person that preached the gospel. Right? After she saw, I mean, she's already a prophetess that's ministering in the temple day and night. That's not good enough for them. You know, but then she leaves after she sees Jesus and speaks to everybody about Him being the way of redemption. Well, what are we doing if we're preaching? We're talking Jesus is the way to redemption. He's the Savior. You know, come on, not to mention Philip's daughters that prophesied. I've got off on a rabbit track, but somebody just needs to hear this. Philip's daughter that prophesied, Phoebe the deaconess. Right? And then if you want to go into the Old Testament, you can go into Deborah, who was a judge. God has always used women throughout. I mean, and if you look at Jesus, Jesus kept a crew of strong women around Him all the time. Amen. Part of His ministry team. But you know, oh, God can't use a woman. That's in the past. God's brought us to a new place and a greater, newer understanding of the Word of God. We have to be willing to let prophetic revelation come forward. We can't hold ourselves to that place. We've got to move away from that and move on into the things of God. Now, it can never get outside the Word of God. It's got to stay firm, firmly, solid, stood up by the Word of God. But we have to be sure we don't get caught up in traditions and things that somebody else used to do because they did it. A lot of the preaching for a long time was preaching that was done. Somebody would hear somebody say something and somebody else said, that sounded good. I'm going to start using that, whether it was a word or not. That happened in the Bible. That's what the Pharisees started doing to the people. They started adding their things to it. And that's why Jesus told them, He said, you've made the Word of God of none effect with your traditions. You see. So you've got to be careful about just because that's what used to happen. That don't mean that's what needs to happen now. Just because something used to work, don't mean that's what will work now. We've got to realize that we've got to be open to the new that God wants to do. Lillian, and I've already used this, but I'm going to say it. Lillian came down to my house the other day carrying her little, her thermos. Okay. It's the same kind of thermos I used to carry coffee in, but she wouldn't have carried that down there. Made by the same company, does the same thing, but they took it and they made it new. They prettied it up. It's pink and it's pretty and it's flowery and she just loves it. And a whole lot of other people loved them too because they jacked the price up on them and people still bought them. Matter of fact, they were fighting to try to get them. Yes. Same Stanley thermos. Yes. Did the same thing. It was just made different. Different color. Different color. You see? And that's what we've got to get used to, folks. I'm going to tell you something. As we get into this move, don't you get stuck. Whatever you do, don't you get stuck in that place to where if somebody comes in here and they look really odd, that you don't show them the same love that you would show somebody coming in here that's dressed in suit and tie. And come on, see, because I want you to understand that God's going into the highways and the hedges now. And there are going to be folks coming in here and they ain't going to look like you. They ain't going to smell like you. They ain't going to talk like you. They're going to be different. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus died for them too. And if we're going to be what we're going to be as a church, we've got to bring them into the family and make sure that they know that they are loved by God and by us. You can't get stuck back here. You know, there was a time when you walked into the church in some places. I've never seen it in this church, and I hope I never see it in this church. But there's a time when you walk in certain places that, you know, everybody's nose went up. Yeah. You know. And you kind of look down on, just depending on where you're from, what you're, you know, that better never happen here. And I don't believe it ever will happen here because you people love Jesus too much. You're not hung up on that. So we got to keep on pushing. I'm sorry, I kind of went off the tracks there, but I was talking about my tracks on being erased. Okay. Now, in 1 John, let me show you something, and we'll close this thing out. 1 John chapter 3. Let me just show you, because I've told you, you know, your future, your destiny is still for you to determine. Just don't hold on to the past. John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, I'm in the wrong place. 3, 2 and 3. Is that right? No, that's beloved. I wish above all things, right? Let me see if it's John, because I put it down. Is it John 2 and 3? Okay. Let me find it. Okay. The best thing for me to do is just quote it, because Jesus, John says this. He said, "Beloved," I think it was John. I may even have the wrong person wrong now. He says, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know." No, it's not the beloved, does it? Yeah, it is. I was in the right place. I was thinking I want to. Let me look. What am I? I'm in 3 John. So I knew I was in the wrong place because, you know, that's beloved. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as you so prosper. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him, purify himself even as He's pure. Notice that. We don't know yet what we're going to be. But we know we're going to be like Him. I don't know where God's taking us. But I wanted Him to take me wherever He wants to take me so I can be more like Him. And then if I do that, I have this hope. I know that God has greater things in store for you and for me, for this church, and for His people. But it's up to us to let go of what's been and start saying, you know what, God, I want the new. I want more. I want to press into what you're taking us into. And when we do that, we'll see it start manifesting. You see, because faith calls those things that be not as though they were, right? The past is gone, so let's let our future be filled with the glory of God. What do you think? I think that's what we need to do. We just need to keep pressing, keep pushing, keep moving forward. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God.